Southern California Christian Students College Conference, April 13 through 15, 2012, Anaheim, California. Conference title is The New Testament Priesthood. Message 2, The Life of a Priest. Scripture reading, 1 Peter 2:5, John 6:35 and 57, Galatians 3:27 and John 15:4.
The life of the priests, amen, touching the living fountain of life. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning we're going to continue our marvelous journey into this topic of the New Testament priesthood. And for the benefit of those who maybe were not here last night, and just even for ourselves, a little review of last night's wonderful message. Amen. I think we really touched the heart of the Lord and the spirit of the Lord last night. The first message was entitled, Priests of Christ to God. Amen. And I think our brother finished the message by asking, do you see this? Do you see, do we see that we are priests to God? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this is the divine facts. This is the truth that is revealed in the New Testament. 1 Peter 2:5 and 2:9. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy priesthood. Amen. And last night we saw that God, this is Roman 1 of message 1, God is a God of purpose. He has an eternal plan and He has economy. And maybe we could summarize the first Roman numeral and the points underneath is, His will is to fill. Hallelujah! His will is to fill. He wants to fill us with Himself. Praise the Lord, and we'll see a little development of that in 2. 2 says, a priest is someone who serves God according to His purpose. Someone who receives God is filled with Him and has God flow out of him to be the living expression of God. So we see this being filled with God. And I enjoyed, A, the main function of a priest is not to work, but to spend time in the presence of the Lord. I hope we all had a little time this morning to spend time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Because this is our main function as priests. And then looking at 2 under A, the highest profession on earth is not to be the president of a great country. It's not to be a doctor or this or that. It is to be someone who spends time being infused with God, that we may shine forth God. The highest profession on earth is to spend time with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then under B, it talks about the believers as priests offering spiritual sacrifices. And I just really enjoyed the picture last night our brother used of just offering. What do we offer? Do we offer ourselves? Do we offer our conduct? We had a good week this week, so we offer that to God. No! We offer Christ! Right? The Father loves Christ. All the Father's delight is in the Son. So every time we offer the Son to the Father, He is so happy. He can never turn away the presence of His Son. So we, as priests, offer Christ to God. Amen. Amen. And then C says, the goal of the priestly service is to build up the body of Christ as the corporate expression of Christ. And I think we'll see this more as we go through the weekend. And in a few minutes, we'll start to go through the second message. I'd just like to repeat this matter of the offerings. And 5 offerings were mentioned last night. If you weren't here, I'll mention them now and repeat them later. But there is the burnt offering. There's the meal offering. There's the trespass offering, the sin offering, and the peace offering. So the burnt offering is for what I am not. Hands up here who is absolutely for God 100% of the time. Right? We're not that. But He is. We offer Him as our burnt offering. He's also our meal offering. He is what we are not. He meets our need. His fine humanity. Again, we take Him, we eat Him, we feed on Him, we feast on Him, and we offer Him to God. Then we also, of course, we are sin, our constitution. So He's our sin offering. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah! This is our Christ. Then we realize because we have sin, we are sin, we commit sins. But praise the Lord, our Christ is our trespass offering. And when we enjoy these four offerings, then we have peace with God, we have peace with our fellow man, and we experience and enjoy Christ as our peace offering. So the sin offering is for what we are, and the trespass offering is for what we do. The burnt offering, what I am not. The meal offering, what I need. The sin offering, for what I am. The trespass offering, for what I do. And then we enjoy Christ as the peace offering. Amen. Well, a question was asked last night. If we are the New Testament priesthood, if we are the New Testament priesthood, then why are we looking at the pictures in the Old Testament? Well, the answer is that we have the caption, we have the fact, we have the truth in the New Testament. We are New Testament priests. But if we look at the Old Testament picture, a picture is worth a thousand words. So there are many matters, many truths that are New Testament truths that are depicted, that are portrayed in the Old Testament, that flesh out, fill out, and give us a fuller understanding, a fuller appreciation of the divine facts in the New Testament. And I think we'll see this very much this morning's message as we come to it. How about we turn to message 2? And that is entitled, The Life of a Priest. The Life of a Priest. And I am very thankful to the Lord and I'm very appreciative to the brothers that we have this picture. A picture is worth a thousand words, right? You see that beside. And actually, for a good amount of the message, we're just going to be looking at this picture. Looking at this picture. You know, I don't know if it's possible to get, this is taken from a book called The Life Study of Exodus. It's in there. You might want to copy this and put it somewhere where you are every day. I don't know if you have a study desk, but this would be a marvelous picture as a reminder of this message and of this whole weekend. What is the life of a priest? And we'll get into this morning a little bit together. Praise the Lord. Amen. So mainly we're looking at the picture here. And I would like to start, you can write down some words. They're all E words. I'm not trying to be clever here, I just enjoyed these points. Okay? Associated with this picture, you can write down these words. Eat. Eat. Okay? That's a little word, but it has a tremendous significance. How many of us this morning had breakfast? Okay, I hope nearly everyone had breakfast. Everyone ate this morning. Well, we'll see as we get into this message how much we need to eat the Lord. Amen. Eat Jesus. I am the living bread. He who eats me, he shall live because of me. So eating is the first word. Another word, enjoyment. How many people enjoyed their breakfast this morning? Not as many hands. I hope you all enjoyed your breakfast. So enjoyment, right? I don't think most of us do not eat because of duty, right? We eat because we enjoy to eat. Joshua Vincent is no longer on the front row, but I think our brother is someone who enjoys eating. Hallelujah. Well, we want to be ones who enjoy eating our marvelous Christ. Okay? Experience. And if when you get to the reading this morning, countless times the word experience. So we're not here this weekend giving you doctrine, giving you information, giving you knowledge. We're sharing these things because we would like you to experience these things. This needs to be our experience. In order to have messages 3 and 4, we have to have the experience of message 2. Eating and enjoying the Lord. Okay. Exercise. Okay. Exercise. So there is eating, there is enjoyment, but sometimes, you know, we need to exercise. Exercise for our health. To be healthy, we need to exercise. There is a wonderful tour that we will take in this tabernacle. Good to walk with the Lord every day, walking through the tabernacle. We'll see more about that. Amen. Okay, still more. Our eating and our enjoyment issues in expression. Expression. Ben Shu, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. If you eat Christ, who will you express? Christ! If you eat Him, you will express Him. If you eat Clipper Nation, you will express basketball. If you eat PlayStation 3, Xbox, that's what you will express. It is a law. You express what you eat. We are New Testament priests. Priests need to eat. And they need to eat Christ. Amen. Okay. Embodiment. Again, embodiment. This tabernacle is the embodiment of the triune God, of Christ, of the body of Christ, of the church of God, embodiment. And then I'll use one other word, or two other words, employment. Employment. This is our job. Where do you work? You don't really work. You're working is enjoyment, but this is where you are employed. And then our last word for now anyway, and this is a critical word. Every day. I don't know if that's two words or one word, but every day we need to experience, eat, enjoy, exercise every day. Oh, the priests are healthy, healthy enjoyers, healthy eaters, healthy expressors. The expression is just one of health. You look at the face and you go, wow, that person is shining. Their countenance is radiant. Their cheeks are ruddy. Their eyes are shining. The impression is health. Healthy because they're eating every day. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, they're the E words. Praise the Lord. Now I'll do my best to paint a picture. We'll go through the outline in a good way. The points, once we've looked at the picture, I think the points will be a little bit more self-explanatory. Amen. Okay. There are, we could say, 6 main items portrayed or pictured here. The altar of burnt offering, the table of the bread of the presence, the lampstand, the incense altar, the ark, and then the tabernacle as a whole. And we'll touch the laver, don't worry. But these are the main items. But the first item, the very first item when you come to this marvelous place, this building, when the priests came to the tabernacle to serve, and they went in through the gate, the entrance at the beginning, the first thing that they came to was the bronze altar, which typifies the cross of Christ, the death of Christ. And it was at this bronze altar that all the offerings were offered. And so every day we need to begin our journey into the tabernacle into God at this place, at the bronze altar, where we offer the offerings. And Brother Ken brought this out wonderfully last night. There are five main offerings, right? The burnt offering, the meal offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, and the peace offering. These were the main offerings. But the top offering in God's eyes was the burnt offering. What God needs, what God wants, what God is looking for are not only or merely holy people or sinless people, but consecrated people. Absolute people. Absolute for Him. And right away we fail, right? Right away we realize, no, not me. But praise the Lord! We can offer someone who is absolute. So Lord, I lay my hands on you. I am identified with you. And I offer you. Then also we have the meal offering. Our imperfect humanity, our fallen humanity, wrong expression, wrong secretions, wrong conduct, wrong speech, wrong everything. Well, praise the Lord, we have someone who is perfect in every way. And that is our wonderful Lord Jesus, our Savior. Again, we lay our hands on Him. We eat Him. The meal offering, the priest ate the meal offering. We take this one into us for our supply, for our satisfaction, for our well-being. Then also, as I've already quickly mentioned, we should always apply the blood. And this is the sin offering, the trespass offering. This cleanses us. This is our way into the tabernacle, our way into God Himself. John 14:6, the Lord says, I am the way. Remember that. I am, if you want to put some of these verses down beside, I am the way. There's no other way into this tabernacle. No other way into God. Except for through the bronze altar. There's no other way into the church life except for through the cross. The church life is the issue of the enjoyment of Christ. So we need to enjoy Christ as all of these matters. So this is not a small thing. We really need to spend some time. And I would just say this way. Every day I take this tour. Now we're taking our time this morning, right? We're going to spend an hour in this message. That doesn't mean you need to take an hour to get through the tabernacle. You can do it in a moment. And we'll explain how in a little. But you can go through very, very quickly. But we're slowing the train down so we have a richer, fuller appreciation of all the items of our marvelous Christ. And in fact, another thing I wrote down was inexhaustibly rich. I cannot. It's impossible in 1 hour to bring out all the significances of this marvelous place, but hopefully to stir up your appetite and your appreciation for what the Lord is, who the Lord is to us as priests, and how we have our living as priests. Before we go on, I just maybe could also just mention a little of the background very quickly for some of you who may not be so familiar with the tabernacle. Should have done this earlier, but amen. The children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt. And God raised up Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage and captivity and slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh, signifying Satan's usurpation. So he led his people, Moses led God's people out of Egypt, signifying the world. They crossed the Red Sea, signifying baptism, after enjoying the Passover lamb. They crossed through the Red Sea, and then they were in the wilderness. And after a three-day journey, they were brought to the mountain of God. And here, Moses was called up the mountain by God, and God unveiled to him, opened his heart to him, and showed him the pattern of the tabernacle. Showing Moses and then eventually the children of Israel God's desire, God's heart to dwell among His people. And His original intention was that the whole nation of Israel would serve God as priests. But while Moses was up the mountain, the children of Israel kind of fell into their Egyptian ways, began to rise up to party and to play, it says. And eventually, God had to send Moses down the mountain because the children of Israel were, in a sense, rebelling against God. Their Egyptian flesh was coming out. Well, one tribe of Israelites stood with God and Moses, and that was the Levites. And the Levites, because they were faithful to God, were then chosen to be the priests. And as we saw last night, that was the arrangement in the Old Testament. The priests were the Levites, or the Levites were the priests serving in the tabernacle of God, God's dwelling place on earth. This is where God dwells. So eventually the situation was recovered. And once the tabernacle was built, God's Shekinah glory, God's presence, came down and dwelt in the innermost part of the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, which is this square part where the ark is. This is where God dwells. In the New Testament, this part of the tabernacle signifies our spirit. Praise the Lord! God is dwelling this morning in our mingled spirit. In our corporate spirit, in our individual spirit, this is where God dwells. And that's why we as priests need to take this journey every day into the Holy of Holies. And anyway, the Old Testament picture was the Levites served, just one tribe. But in the New Testament, God is recovering the universal priesthood. He's bringing all His people. His desire always from the beginning was that we would all be priests. And so the picture in the Old Testament, this particular message, shows us the living we need in order to be proper New Testament priests. And even extend that New Testament priests of the gospel. But we want to be holy priests. We want to be royal or kingly priests. Holy priests, bearing and bringing people to God in prayer, and then as royal priests, kingly priests, bringing God to people. This is our employment. This is our service to God. This is our service to man. So we'll just see, as I said, we'll go on with this message. The living of the priest, the kind of life they need to have in order to be priests of the gospel, in order to be built up as God's dwelling place on the earth. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Another verse says, Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us come forward to the Holy of Holies." This is our goal this morning, to reach the Holy of Holies. Come forward to the Holy of Holies with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Amen. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. And actually, this verse summarizes the first two stations on our journey, the altar of burnt offering and the laver. We have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience by the precious blood of Christ. And then it says, having our bodies washed with pure water. Now, this is figurative. Our bodies washed. Our figure, the type means, or the figure means, our conduct, our living, washed. And the laver signifies Christ as the life-giving Spirit, washing us, washing away the spots, the wrinkles, the blemishes, the earthly defilement. So the altar takes care of our sin, our sinful acts, our sinful deeds. But God is not just merely interested in sinless people. He wants holy people. No earthly defilement, no earthly touch. And that's why the priests needed to wash in the laver. Even after, you know, handling the sacrifices, it's earthly. It's dealing with sinful things. Well, then we need the washing of the labor, the washing of the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:26, it talks about the washing of the water in the Word. Well, that washing there, the literal Greek is the laver. The laver of the water in the Word. And this word here is the rhema, the instant speaking, the spiritual speaking of the Lord. So this is our experience. When we come in the morning, first thing, oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord, I lay my hands on you. Lord, thank you. You are my sin offering. Thank you. You're my trespass offering. Lord, thank you. You are the burnt offering. Lord, I am not absolute for you, but thank you. You are absolute. Lord, my conduct, I touch so many earthly things. It may not even be sinful, but I realize there's so many things that I touch. Lord, I need your washing. Wash me. And we call, oh, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So here we are. We're laying our hands on the Lord. We're touching the Lord. We're offering the Lord. And we're calling on the Lord. And we're being washed. And then these two experiences usher us deeper into God's presence. We go from the outward to the inward. And now we're in the holy place. Praise the Lord. Amen. Also, I could mention just before we go on to the table of the bread of the presence, the altar of burnt offering and the laver also signify or may signify our experience as Christians. We are saved at the altar. And then we are baptized in the laver. So for a full entrance into God Himself, into God's building, into God, we pass through the altar and the laver. Salvation and baptism. This is, even the picture is so helpful to us. Right? I hope everybody here is baptized. And if you're not baptized, maybe this weekend you would consider baptism. The picture is very, very clear. In order to enter into the tabernacle proper, the holy place and the holy of holies, we need two steps. Or two like this. One, salvation and baptism. That's how we enter in. It's not one step. It's wonderful to be saved. When we get saved, when we're at the altar, we feed on Christ. Christ gets into us. When we pass through the experience of the labor, we are put into Christ. We put on Christ as our clothing. And so here's another, I'll just use a little illustration here if I can. I'm going to use this as an illustration. The labor. In Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. If we could turn to Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. I need to put on my jacket again because I have to put it off. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read these verses. That you put off, we could read it together if you have it, that you put off as regard your former manner of life, the old man, which is being corrupted according to the lusts of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness of the reality. So our experience of the labor is putting off, be renewed, the renewing, the washing. We put off the old man. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
You can hold my old man there. Thank you. Actually, it should be the other way around. This is kind of brown and ugly. We put off the old man, right? The washing of the labor. We take off the earthly defilement, the old man, the old creation. Praise the Lord. And then we put on Christ. We put on the new man. And this is what we can do every morning. We are transferred out of the old creation into the new creation as we pass through this wonderful labor. The principle is the same in baptism. We put away our old man. He's buried in the waters of death. He rises up to walk in newness of life. So whether or not we fellowship more about baptism, there will be an opportunity at the end, or the end of the weekend, if you have not been baptized. I think the picture is marvelous. Amen. Altar of burnt offering, the laver, and we enter into God's dwelling place, God Himself. Amen. Okay, and then the next matter, praise the Lord, the table of the bread of the presence. Praise the Lord. Well, Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. John 6:35 says, I am the living bread. And then John 6:57 says, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me shall live because of me. So this, the table of the bread of the presence in the tabernacle, there were 12 loaves of bread, 2 loaves, 6 loaves each of bread, anointed with frankincense. And these typify Christ as our life and our life supply. And where is a good place to get this life and life supply? It's in the Word of God. So again, I'm painting a picture of our morning, if you will, our morning routine. Right? We do not wake up in our spirit. We do not wake up in the Holy of Holies. We wake up in our flesh. We wake up in our old man. We don't say, oh Lord, we say, oh no. That's what I do a lot of mornings, actually. My little phrase recently is long days, short nights. Is it really 6 or is it really that time already? Amen. So when we wake up, we need to take this wonderful journey. So we lay our hands on the Lord. We feed on the Lord as the offerings. We call on the Lord. We're brought little by little, the earthly defilement washed. We come to Christ as the Word. Man shall not live. The priest shall not live on physical bread alone, but on every word. So we need to eat the Word. We need to eat Christ as the Word. We need to read our Bible. Even better, we need to pray, read our Bible. What does that mean? It means we just simply take God's Word and we use it as our prayer. So this morning, early, I enjoy just one verse from the Bible. Matthew 11:28. Come to me. Come to me, all who toil and are burdened, and I will give you rest. And that was just the perfect prayer, the perfect word that I needed to feed myself. Come to me. Michael, you're studying, you're preparing, you're reading, you're looking at this reference, you're looking at that book, you're doing this. Come to me. Come to me. You've got a test. Midterms. Finals. Oh, 5 a.m. I gotta get to my books. Well, there's one book you need to get to first. There's another book. There's a better book. There's the best book. Come to me. All who toil. Students, all who toil and are burdened. Projects, deadlines, midterms, finals, grades, all who are burdened, come to me. And I will give you rest. Give you rest. So you're with Him. And so when you go to take the final, there's just this word in you. Come to me. Come to me. You're toiling, you're burdened. I will give you rest, even in the middle of your test. So we just don't read the Word, but we pray, we feed on God's Word. Feed on His Word. And then we have the life and life supply. Okay, the priests need to eat. That was the first word I gave you. Eat. You have to eat every day. There are some strange people in this room who don't eat breakfast. my children are being, my wife helps them sometimes not to eat breakfast. I'm like, how can you miss breakfast? The best meal of the day. So we need to eat. And the best time to eat, first thing in the morning, get filled up physically speaking, yes, but even more spiritually speaking. We want to live the priest's life. We aspire to this. We agree with this. We amen this. We want this. But then we don't eat. And then we go out and we wonder why I feel so hungry. I feel so weak. Oh, you know, because we don't eat. The physical principle, the spiritual principle is the same. Every day, if you want to be a priest, and we all want to be serving priests, we want to be living, having the living. Well, priests eat breakfast. Amen. Priests have breakfast. They enjoy the meal offering. Amen. They enjoy Christ. They feed on Him. They come to His Word. And just one line. This is, I don't know what, superfood. Right? Power bar, cliff bar, I don't know, spiritual cliff bar. One verse can feed you, nourish you for the whole day. And it can also nourish others. I sent two text messages this morning. Both of them were Matthew 11:28. Come to me. You're toiling where you are. Come to me and I will give you rest. So we feed ourselves. And then we have something to feed others. What are we going to give them? If we're priests, we have to give them priestly food. We have to give them God in His Word. And it just might be just a simple little phrase. Little word of comfort to someone. Another friend. Been up all night. You know what? I found the secret. I found a secret. We tell our friend, come to me. Let me help you come to the Lord. He will give you rest. Okay? Amen. So this is our experience and enjoyment of the Lord at the table of the bread, of the presence. And of course, the Lord is the living Word. We have the written Word, but the Lord is the living Word of God. We touch His Word with our spirit. We touch His presence. We touch His face. So this bread is also called the face bread. The bread of His presence. You want to touch God? Touch God in His Word. Praise the Lord. And I just have one other little, I have three little words I'd also like to put here. Eat, digest, and assimilate. Eat, digest, and assimilate. We eat. We read the Bible. This is our eating. We touch the Lord. We eat. How do we digest? Because we physically, we take in food, right? We chew it. We swallow it. Then the digestion process continues. So our eating at the beginning is part. The digestion, well, I would say that our digestion is our musing. Our musings. So our eating is our reading. And maybe we can say our pray reading, to take God's Word into our spirit. Pray reading the Bible. Just taking the Word and using that as our prayer. Not having to compose long prayers. Oh, what should I pray for? Just take His Word. As I've already explained, that was what nourished me this morning. Just His Word. Then musing. We leave. We've got that in our being. And now we're going to school. We're driving in our car. We're walking up to campus. We're in class. It's a few minutes before the class begins. And this Word is in our being. Come to me. Come to me. So we're just musing. Lord, thank you. I can come to you. This is our digestion. Our digestion. So, but the last and most important part of the whole process of eating is the assimilation. Right? That chewed, digested Word needs to get into the cells, the fiber of our being, to become our constitution. Assimilation, well, the best way to assimilate God's Word is to say one word. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So when the Lord says something to us, we've read the Word and there's a Word in our being, and then the Lord's Rhema Word comes to us. Our best way to absorb that Word, to make that Word real in our experience is, Amen, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I agree. I agree with this Word, whatever that Word is. You're a holy priesthood. You're holy. So you're on campus and your friends are talking about something unholy, but this Word comes to you. You are a royal priest. You are a holy priest. You are sanctified. You are separated. You are different. You cannot partake. And you just say, amen, Lord. I agree, Lord. That won't come out of my mouth. I'll disengage from this conversation. I won't go to that place. I won't do that thing. So eat, digest, and assimilate. Amen and obey. Two words. Amen and obey. Amen. Well, then we go on from there. This is the priest. This is the order in the Old Testament. This is how the priests took care of the tabernacle. They took care of the bread, and then they took care of the lamp, the lampstand, the shining light. In John chapter 1, it says that in Him was life. In Him was life, and that life was the light of man. So life and light are inseparable. They go together. If you're enjoying the Lord as your life supply, you will receive His light. And this is the lighting of the lampstand. We are enlightened. Enlightened by His Word. Enlightened by His speaking to us. Our darkness is made bright. Things that we're not clear about, we become clear because there's the shining of the light. So again, you know, many times I think many of us have many questions. What about this? What about that? What should I do? Where should I go? What class should I take? What university should I go to? High school seniors? Amen. Well, then we want answers. And we wonder, well, where am I going to get the answers? Maybe I should talk to my friends. I'll ask my friends. I'll ask my friends where they're going. Wherever they're going. Well, the priests don't live like that. The priests live by feeding on the Lord. Feeding on His Word. Being filled with His Word. And then the light comes. Amen. The light comes through the shining of the Word. And we are enlightened. Also, the light comes in the sanctuary. This tabernacle, this part of the building. The sanctuary. Signifying the church life. So, light is in His Word. Light is in our spirit. And light is in the church, the body of Christ. These are all places where we can experience light. So in our journey through the tabernacle, we are enlightened. If you look at Exodus and Leviticus, you see that the lighting of the lamps is associated with the burning of the incense at the incense altar. Now these two are intimately linked. If you are dressing the lamps, if you're being enlightened, there is a direct relationship with the burning of the incense at the incense altar. What is the burning of the incense at the incense altar? Well, the incense signifies Christ as as the sweet fragrance for our acceptance before God. If you're a priest and you're passing through the tabernacle, and you're enjoying Christ, you're experiencing Christ as all of these items, then you come to the incense altar, and Christ is our sweet fragrance for our acceptance before God. The incense also, incense altar also typifies Christ praying, Christ interceding. So, we've laid our hands on the Lord, we've called on the Lord, we've read the Bible, we've pray-read the Bible, we're being enlightened, and now we have the sense and the need to pray. So we join Christ, we take Christ as our acceptance before God, and we just pray. And our prayer ushers us, praise the Lord, into the Holy of Holies, into the very place where God dwells. And we'll read later that the prayer here is not mainly, at the incense altar, is not mainly prayer for ourselves or prayer that is according to our concept or opinion. We might start our day, oh, I need to pray for this matter. I need to pray for that matter. I need to pray for my sick father or my sick mother. Well, if we take this tour and we're fed inwardly by the Lord, we have His Word within us, we're enlightened by Him, and we come to Him at the incense altar, He will give us prayers that we can pray, that meet His need. I read one time just a little example of this, which I thought was very good. This brother has a mother who's quite ill, And of course, he's very, very burdened to pray for his mother. But through his enjoyment of the Lord in the tabernacle, he comes to the incense altar and his sense is, no, don't pray for your mother right now. Pray for this. Pray for this sick one. Pray for that sick one. Pray for all the sick ones. Pray for this, pray for that. And so he just, amen, Lord, okay, I just drop my burden. I drop what I am burdened for and I join myself to you. And so there's this, the prayer, the intercession for so many needs. Yeah. The Lord is our faithful and merciful high priest. Amen. Even right now, he is interceding for every person in this room. Amen. Hallelujah! He's in the heavenly tabernacle praying for us. It matters to him concerning us. But he has many, many things that he desires that his priests, the body of priests, would join him at the incense altar to intercede. And so this brother's praying, praying. And then eventually, okay, the burden was discharged. And then the sense was now, the Lord just said, now, let us together pray for your mother. So, so sweet. So instead of we coming with our agenda and our list of things to pray for. Oh, this. Oh, my exams, my finals, my family, my needs, my finances. We just are here before the Lord. Lord, I open to you. What is on your heart? What would you have me pray for? And then as we're praying for these things, even our own needs get taken care of. And the Lord will lead us at the appropriate time. Okay, pray this way. Pray now for this matter. But we just are one with the Lord in His burden. Amen. And then we come to, praise the Lord, the ark. This is the very testimony of God. Christ Himself. And we as the priests must bear the ark at all times. This is the destination of our journey. We want to be in this place, living with the Lord, one spirit with the Lord, one just face to face beholding the Lord. Again, I appreciated the illustration last night, Brother Ken. Beholding and reflecting like a mirror the glory of the Lord. The Shekinah glory is in the Holy of Holies. There's nothing else here, just God Himself. And so when we take this journey in the morning, this is where we end up, beholding the Lord. We're one spirit with the Lord. And I can just say my experience has been, I take this journey, I reach this place, I'm just with the Lord, and at a certain point, I have the sense, okay, now we can go on, now I can go on with the rest of my day. But as I go on with the rest of my day, my sense is, Lord, I am one spirit with you. I've made this wonderful journey through the tabernacle. I am beholding you face to face. When my wife and children see me, hopefully they see a shining brother, not a grumpy first thing in the morning, rah, 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 kind of person, but someone who's shining, have spent time in the presence of God Himself. You go to school, people say, what is different? There's something different about you. Because you're a priest who spent time in the presence of God. He's shining on you. You're a mirror. You behold Him and then you reflect Him out. Amen. And this is so attractive, so attracting to our friends. They want to know. So in a sense, we don't have to speak a word of the gospel. Our shining face is our gospel. Why are you always happy? Why are you always bright? Because I'm a priest. I spend time in the presence of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm the real priest. Amen. Amen. Time just flies. It's amazing. I have so many other things we could share. We'll go to the outline now. One other thing I just mentioned then. Well, you have the ark. All these experiences of Christ, eventually the testimony of Christ, the ark, the tabernacle itself, is the enlarged Christ. It's the full expression of Christ. And so we may say that the tabernacle, being the enlarged Christ, is the church and the church life. From this picture, we realize that the proper church life, the real church life, comes out of our enjoyment and our experience and our eating of this wonderful one. I don't know if this is your experience sometimes, but do you ever have a sense when you come to the church meetings, you kind of feel empty and you feel like, I don't even know if I belong here. What do these people see? Why do I have to come here on a on a Sunday morning. I come because of duty, but I really don't feel like I belong here. Well, maybe the reason is because the church life comes out of the enjoyment, the experience of all these matters in the tabernacle. That's actually the case. The church is not a building on the corner. The church is not a religious organization, and if you're a good person, you go to church on a Sunday. That's not the church. The church is Christ. The church is the fullness of Christ, the expression of Christ. And the church is the priesthood expressing Christ. So if you want a sense, I belong here. This is my home. I'm so happy to be with these other priests here on a Sunday morning, sharing the word, etc., etc. Well, if we take this tour every day, I guarantee you, if you just do this for a few weeks, your sense on a Sunday morning, your desire, your heart to be with the other priests will increase so much. And you will have a sense, yes, this is the meaning of my life. This is where I belong. So we want to have these experiences every day. Every day. That was another one of the words. To be in the reality of the tabernacle. Okay, let's go to the outline. We can go through it quite quickly. I have a lot to say, but amen. Let's read one together.
According to the times revealed in the Old Testament, the priesthood has much to do with the enjoying all-inclusive Christ.
Amen. The priesthood has much to do with the enjoyment. The enjoyment of the all-inclusive Christ. So every item in the tabernacle is Christ. Every item in the tabernacle is Christ for our experience, our enjoyment, for our feeding on, for our eating. This is our wonderful Christ. Two, the living of the priests is Christ. This is typified by their food, clothing, and dwelling. Okay, could we read A?
The showbread and daily all the different kinds of offerings became the food for the priests to eat.
It signifies that as the priest, we must take Christ in as our food.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We must take in Christ as our food.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, could the brothers read one and the sisters read two? Amen.
To feed the Lord Jesus is to receive Him into us, that He may be assimilated in the way of life, and then we live by Him whom we have received.
Amen. Okay, sisters. Amen. Christ as our food. Amen. What is my food? Don't answer the question. Consider, what do you eat for satisfaction? What do you eat for enjoyment? Amen. Right? Well, what you spend your time on, that's your food. Now, as students, we have to study. That's not really food, right? It's what we have to do. But in your free time, your lots and lots of free time, you don't think you have a lot, but actually you do. How do you spend your time? What do you feed on? 5 hours of Xbox. 6 hours. 10 hours. Right? Sports. Movies. All kinds of things. Well, our real food is Christ. That's our real food. If we want to be priests, we need a change in our diet. And I hope this weekend we can really impress you just how wonderful, how enjoyable Christ is. And actually, again, you know, when we eat junk food, that kills our appetite for proper food, right? Well, in the same principle, we really need to limit our junk intake that we could take in the proper food. And the same way, if we take in the proper food, that will leave less room, less desire for the junky stuff. Right? So our food is Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, let's read B.
Verse
the clothing. Okay, let's read it. The clothing of the priest signifies that Christ must be our manifestation, our expression. So our inward content, Christ is our food, produces our outward expression. Christ as our clothing. This is a wonderful point. Galatians 3:27 says, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He's our clothing. Okay, let's read one. The more we eat of the more... Amen. The clothing of the priest is mainly composed of five different items. Now, I can't do much better than this, but this is the clothing. I'll just go around a little bit like that. This is the high priest's garments. I know it's kind of small, but I hope even from this distance you can appreciate how beautiful the priestly garments are. Okay, so this is a Old Testament physical picture of a New Testament spiritual reality. That is, spiritually speaking, this is what we want to look like. This is how we want to dress. Interesting. Spiritually speaking. Well, I hope we'll go through these points. Okay? The priestly garments. The clothing is an issue of the inward enjoyment. What do you wear? Like, okay, so you have a sweatshirt, Clipper Nation, Trojan football, whatever, right? That clothing is a kind of an expression, and it may be a reflection of what your being is filled with, right? I wear this T-shirt because... or this sweatshirt because I go to that school or I support that team. So there's something within us that is expressed outwardly. Well, the same principle. We want to be filled with Christ, so we have Christ as our expression. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's read A. Gold represents the divine nature. This signifies Christ's divinity. We want to give the people the impression, the definite, strong impression. There is something in this person that is better than humanity, that is higher than humanity. So this is now, I would like to emphasize very strongly, this is not behavior. This is me, this is not me acting divinely, or acting, as we'll go over, you know, heavenly and spiritual. This is reality. If we are someone who's feeding on Christ, again, we're feeding on Christ, feasting on Christ every day, this will become spontaneously our expression. When people touch us, when people engage us, when people talk to us, they realize there is something different about you. There's something not just merely, there's humanity for sure, the best humanity, the highest humanity, but there's something more here. My wife one time, she went to Berkeley and would go out with a friend preaching the gospel sometime. And she said she was with her friend one day and they were preaching to a girl the gospel. And another girl happened to be kind of, she wasn't the object of the gospel preaching, but she was observing and she was listening. And at a certain point, she kind of stepped into the conversation and she went, I want what you have. I want what you have. She could see there's something different about these people. And that was just right away, she was attracted. I want what you have. Well, I would love to have that. Not only that testimony, but that reality. I don't have to say so much, but there's something about me that causes people. What has that person got? What is the peace? What is the brightness? What is it that they have? I want that thing. Well, this is part of the priestly garment, gold representing the divine nature. Okay, let's read B. The fine linen signifies the pure righteousness of Christ. This is Christ's fine human living manifested mainly in His sufferings. It expresses Christ's purity, honesty, justice, and righteousness. Again, just consider, are you pure? Are you righteous in all things? Are you just? Right? Well, we can have the experience of honesty, justice, righteousness, and purity by taking in this one. And then He becomes our expression. All our interactions, our brothers' interactions with sisters, pure. Sisters' interaction with brothers, it's pure. There's no motive. It's just pure. The expression, the fine linen garment, which also sanctifies and separates. Amen. Okay, C, blue signifies heaviness. We give people the impression this one is not earthly. We're not earthly. We're just not the same as others. That doesn't mean we're higher or haughty. It's nothing to do with those things. But we are not earthly. We just are not for these things. When people come into our homes, what do they see? Well, there's a word that I think expresses a lot of homes in the United States, and it's called stuff. That's just the word, stuff. We have just stuff, lots of stuff. We have this, we have that. Everything, everywhere is just chuck. And that's my house, by the way, too. Just everywhere we look, it's just lots of stuff. Well, if we're a heavenly people, I just wonder what should our brother's house look like? On Tuesday night I was in a prayer meeting at a sister's house. And it's a very simple house, and there's a bookshelf, and there's these green-bound volumes and other things, and there's this little tiny screen, flat screen, like this size. And I just thought, well, even, you know, she may watch TV or something, but it's a very small part of her life. You go into other homes, you know, high definition, 3D, HD, there's an ad on the radio, and it's just like, I don't know how that person, you know, everything changes every few months. There's a newer, better, more higher definition, bigger, clearer screen, right? But anyway, I'm not saying we shouldn't have TVs, but again, what's the expression? What's the impression when people come in, when the brothers come in, when we come into the brother's house? Xbox, PS3, massive screen TV, DVD collection lining the wall. Well, I'm not saying we can't have those things, but what is our testimony? Are we heavenly people or earthly people? Well, if we got just lots of earthly stuff, that's our expression, and that's kind of our testimony, and it's clear that's what we take in, right? DVD collection, wall to wall. What's your food? Is it the Bible? Is it the Lord? So anyway, enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. D, purple. Signifies royalty and kingly dignity. Sometimes when we deal with people, we lose our dignity. Amen. But priests are kingly. They have dignity. They can handle people. They can take care of people. You have someone and they're kind of, you know, they're different. They're awkward. They butt in on your conversation. They, you know, you're just like, just leave me alone. Well, a king, how does a king deport himself? Well, if we're filled with Christ, we'll have a kingly deportment, a kingly living. We'll know how to take care of all kinds of people. We never lose our dignity. We never drop our priestly clothing. We're dignified in all matters. Okay? And then scarlet. Could we read that one, please? Okay, amen. So we should always give the impression to people that we live by the redeeming blood. We are sinful, fallen people in this age. We always need Christ as and His the cleansing of His blood for our covering and our cleansing. We should always give the impression to the people around us, I am a sinful person, I am an earthly person, I need the Lord's cleansing. This is a good testimony to our friends. Lord Jesus, cleanse me with Your precious prevailing blood. Maybe at the mealtime, we just with our friends in the cafeteria, we pray this kind of prayer. This is an excellent testimony. This is part of our clothing. Okay, C, the garments of the priest are composed of the same material as the tabernacle. This simply means that what the priest wore was their abiding place, their housing. So there's not the time to develop this very much, but basically the inner covering of the tabernacle was made of the exact same material with these five elements in it. And this shows that eventually our clothing becomes our dwelling place, becomes our expression. Could we read one, brothers, one, sisters, two? Amen. Okay, and sisters? Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we add one verse under C, 2 Corinthians 5:2? And 2 Corinthians 5:2. I have it here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'll just look it up. 2 Corinthians 5:2. Says, for also in this we groan, not longing to be clothed upon with our dwelling place from heaven. Clothed upon with our dwelling place from heaven. So we see even in the New Testament this kind of thought, that our clothing eventually becomes our dwelling place. So to abide in Christ is not only to remain in Him, but to dwell in Him, taking Him as our everything. We abide in Christ by loving Him. Lord Jesus, every day it's so good to say, Lord Jesus, I love You. Amen. Always rejoicing, unceasingly praying, and by giving thanks in everything. Okay, could we read three? Amen. The priesthood takes care of all the offerings. We've seen that. Okay, could we read one? Brothers, one, sisters, two. Amen. So there's those three words. Eat, digest, and assimilate. Sisters. Amen. And I think the picture again last night, we offer Christ as a present, we present Him to God. Okay, could we read B together? The priesthood must spread the bread of the presence in the holy place. To spread Christ as the bread of the presence is to experience Him as our life supply. Amen. Well, I just have a little burden here in Leviticus 24:8. It says, every Sabbath day continually, he shall set it in order before Jehovah. It is an everlasting covenant for the children of Israel. So this refers to the setting of the bread. And the setting of the bread on the bread, the table of the bread of the presence, the priest did that every Sabbath day. That was their holy day. And I just had a little sense or a little feeling. How about how do we spend our Sabbath day? The spreading of the bread signifies our experiencing and enjoying Christ. We should keep holy the Sabbath day. The Lord's day is a wonderful day to experience and enjoy Christ. This is part of the work, the ministry of the priests. They set the bread on the Lord's day. So I just as an encouragement, but I would emphasize, it says continually, and it says everlasting. So not for one Lord's Day after the conference. Oh, priests, take care of the bread on the Lord's Day. I'll go this Lord's Day. But then eventually we stop. I just wanted to share one small thing. I was very impressed with this. What is the significance of July 20th, 1969? Does anyone know? July 20th, 1969. One small step for man, one giant leap step for mankind. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were the first man to set foot on the moon. The 20th of July, 1969 also was a Sunday, Lord's Day. Buzz Aldrin was a deacon in his church, the Presbyterian Church, and he knew that he was going to land on the moon on Sunday. So he packed some bread and some wine in a little pouch. And I don't know, I think maybe when Neil was out bouncing along on the moon, Buzz Aldrin had bread and wine in the lunar module. And he actually had prepared a little speech to say, and he wanted to speak it back to Earth, but Houston said, perhaps not. There had been already some trouble with Madeline Murray O'Hare about reading Genesis from one of the previous moon landings, but going around the moon. But what I was impressed with, a man went to the moon, but because it was a Sunday, he broke bread on a Sunday. On the moon. Now, if someone can be on the moon and make it to the meeting, why can't we? Okay? I hope you get the point. Someone on the moon went to the bread-breaking meeting. How about you? I just couldn't believe it. This actually happened. Someone broke bread on the moon. Praise the Lord. I hope we're really impressed. Bread has been broken on another planet. We should be priests. That brother was a priest. He really was a priest. He took forethought. I'm going to the moon. I gotta bring my bread and my wine with me, of course. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, so may we as priests keep the Sabbath day. Okay, we better finish quickly here. Could we read it together? The priest must light the lamp. When we experience Christ as the light of life, something within us is enlightening and controlling us by the inner light. The word speaks for itself. The enlightening of the lampstand. It controls. I have no control. I can't stop myself. I can't help myself. Well, eat the bread, be in the holy place, be enlightened, and you will be controlled. D, read it together. The priesthood must burn the incense at the golden altar in the holy place. Let's read 1 and 2 together. Burning the incense typifies praying. This kind of prayer is intercessory prayer, not prayer for ourselves. 2, the incense is the sweet odor of Christ as our acceptance to God. Let's read E and F together. The priesthood must bear the ark at all times. F. The priesthood must take care of the tabernacle. This shows us that we must take care of the church so that the body of Christ may become God's dwelling place on earth. All of this, all of our experiences, our everyday experiences in the tabernacle are for the tabernacle, for the church. This is not merely or only that I can be an individual priest. The priests serve in the tabernacle. The priests serve as part of a priesthood. So all of these experiences are for our service in the church life. And I think this will be developed much tonight and tomorrow. Can we read the focus together? As today's priests, we must enjoy Christ as our food, clothing, and dwelling place, hence our living. We must further realize that our work and ministry are also in Christ. And I have just one quote. We must ask the Lord to bring us into all these experiences and make them real to us. So this is the fellowship this morning. The most important thing I would say is we need to eat, enjoy Christ every day. I would highly recommend copying that diagram or getting it and putting it somewhere. And may it remind you every day, Lord, I want to take this journey into you so that I can be a priest filled with Christ as my expression and my clothing, to serve Christ in the dwelling place of God and to serve man also. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord.